I'd like to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 12. I want to read three different verses. Matthew 12, verse 6. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Verse 41 and verse 42. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Each of these words are the words of Christ. And in each verse, Jesus makes a declaration about himself. Between verse 6, the first declaration, between verse 6 and verses 41 and 42, the second and third declarations, there are several events that transpire and a fair amount of time between them. If you just read Matthew's account, you tend to just put them right there at the same time. But that's not the case. These verses do not occur on the same day. They do not occur in the same place. Leading up to verse 6, Jesus and his disciples are in a cornfield on the Sabbath day. They're picking corn. The Pharisees, of course, when they saw it, they became greatly disturbed. And Jesus, in verses 3 through 8, speaks to them concerning their disturbance of mind and really condemns them. And with that is the declaration of verse 6. A greater than the temple is here. In verse 9, Jesus then enters their synagogue. He heals a man with a withered hand. Again, the Pharisees are greatly disturbed. And we read in verse 14 that they went out, that is, they went out of the synagogue and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. In verse 15, Jesus departs. Great multitudes follow him, and he heals them all. In verses 17 through 21, Jesus teaches from the book of Isaiah. And between verses 21 and 22, there's several things that happen that Matthew doesn't record here. And that is, Jesus selects the 12. There is the Sermon on the Mount that transpires between verses 21 and 22. There is also the healing of the centurion's servant. There is the raising of the widow's son. Remember, the widow of Nain. During, between verses 21 and 22, her son has been raised. There's various teachings of Jesus that take place between verses 21 and 22. Remember the woman who anointed the feet of Jesus, and then Jesus followed with the parable of the debtor. That also would have taken place between verses 21 and 22. And then we come to verse 22 and we see the record of Jesus healing a demoniac. And as a result, all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" The Pharisees, again, as they typically were greatly disturbed and they begin to blaspheme. And then in verses 24 through 37, Jesus strongly rebukes these Pharisees, condemns their blasphemy. In verse 38, we see in certain of the scribes and Pharisees, they manifested their unbelief in asking for a sign or a proof that Jesus was who he said he was. And basically, they had willfully shut their eyes upon whom Jesus said he was and what he had already done. And then in verses 39 through 45, Jesus rebukes them for asking for a sign, and verses 41 and 42 are a part of that rebuke. But there is a time that passes between what we read in verse 6 and what we read in verses 41 and 42. But again, in each of these verses, Jesus makes declarations about himself. He says in verse 6, "In this place is one greater than the temple." And then many things happen. Some time passes. And then he says in verse 41, "Behold, a greater than Jonas is here." He says in verse 42, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Three declarations that declare one basic truth. Jesus is greater. Between those declarations, many events transpire. Time passes, but it did not, no matter how many events transpired, no matter how much time transpired, did not change one iota the three declarations that Jesus made. And here we are today, some 2,000 years removed from these declarations. A lot has happened in that time, but it does not change what Jesus said. A greater than is here. And that is our subject this morning. A greater than is here. We want to consider what Jesus declared. And then we want to make some application. But first of all, consider what Jesus declared here. Three statements. Three statements that ought to be a source of great encouragement, a source of strength for God's people. "In this place is one greater than the temple," Jesus said. "Behold, a greater than Jonas is here." "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Those are very definitive statements. Those are very definite statements. Those are statements that ought to fill our hearts with assurance and strong confidence. "In this place is one greater than the temple." "Behold, a greater than Jonas is here." "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Those statements ought to embolden the child of God. Those statements ought to invigorate the child of God. What Jesus says here ought to be a driving force in our lives. And they ought to serve as powerful reminders. So let's consider these declarations. First of all, I'm going to notice seven details of these three statements. Seven details of these three statements. Don't just look at the statement, a greater than the temple is here, a greater than Jonas is here, greater than Solomon is here. But let's look at the details of these statements. And I see seven by the end. I may see more, but I see seven details regarding these statements. Detail number one, in each of the statements, Jesus calls for the attention of his hearers. In verse 6, he says, "I say unto you." Now, if I'm talking to you, I don't have to say to you, if I'm looking right at you and speaking to you, I don't have to say, "I say unto you." But if I say that, what am I doing? I'm getting your attention. I'm making sure you're paying attention to what I'm about to say. And that's what Jesus says. He says, "I say unto you." In other words, pay attention. When he said that, he drew attention to himself. And then secondarily, he draws attention to what he's about to say. But he's directing their attention to himself. In both verses 41 and 42, we hear him say, "Behold! Behold!" Again, another attention-getting word.
Behold. We don't use that word much, but it was frequently used in the Word of God. Behold. It is a word, it is a call to ponder, it is a call to observe, to meditate, to give serious thought to and careful consideration. He says, behold. Behold. He's demanding their attention. It's a call to earnestly pry into something, to study it, to digest it. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. He's getting their attention. The word behold is a word used when something extraordinary or momentous is about to be presented to our attention. And there is something extraordinary here. A greater than Jonas. Behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Now, if Jonah was to walk into this building, we could say with exclamation, behold, Jonah is here. Or behold, Solomon is here. But we have something more here. Behold, a greater than Jonah is here. And if I were to tell people, if I were to make phone calls last night and said, you need to be in church Sunday, Jonah's going to be there. Solomon's going to be there. We'd have more here than we do now. But guess what? A greater than Jonah is here. A greater than Solomon is here. So he uses the word hold to present something extraordinary. It's a word of exclamation. Behold! It's a word of wonder. And he twice uses the word here in verses 41 and verse 42. So he's calling upon them to look fixedly upon himself and to pay attention to what he is about to say, which is a greater than is here. Secondly, in each of these statements, Jesus speaks exclusively of himself. Notice verse 6. In this place is one. Not many. Not two. Not three. In this place is one. A singular individual referring to himself. Verse 41 and 42. Behold A. A. Singular, referring to himself. So in these verses, what Jesus says of himself, he is in and of himself. Without the participation of you and I, without our help, Jesus is greater than the temple. Without our help, Jesus is greater than Jonah. Without our help, Jesus is greater than Solomon. Without the help of anyone else, without the help of any organization, Jesus is. It's an exclusive statement regarding himself. Thirdly, in each of these statements, Jesus used the word greater in referring to himself. The word great is an adjective. It's used to describe a noun. It's a word used to describe a person, a place, or a thing. The word great, of course, expresses degree. It expresses the measure of something. It is a word that we use to express that which is remarkable, that which is magnificent. It is a word that we use to express importance. Great. It is a word that we use to express influence. It's a word we use to express effect. And Jesus, speaking of himself, uses the word greater. Greater. Greater is greater than great. It's more than great. Greater. And he uses it in reference to himself. What he's saying is, I am more. I am more. I am more. Jesus is more. Jesus is more in magnificence. Jesus is more in importance. Jesus is more in influence. Jesus is more in effect. In each of these statements, Jesus draws attention to his greatness, his eminence, his significance, his prominence by using that word greater. I am greater. I am more. Fourthly, in each of these statements, Jesus draws a comparison. That's implied in the very use of the word greater. But the word greater, again, is a word that must have an object of comparison. It has to be greater than something. And so in each statement, he uses the word than. Notice verse 6. Matthew 12, verse 6. A greater than. Same in verse 41 and verse 42. A greater than. The word greater implies comparison. The word than introduces to what is being compared. So the word then, again, must have an object before it. What is the object before it in verse 6? One. Jesus. What is the object before then in verse 41 and 42? A. Referring to himself. And the word then must have an object after it also. We see temple. We see Jonah. We see Solomon. Remember the woman at the well. She asked Jesus in John 4, verse 12, "Art thou greater than our father Abraham?" Yes, he is. Remember the unbelieving Jews asked Jesus in John 8, verse 53, "Art thou greater than our father Abraham?" The answer to those questions and all questions like them is he is greater. He is more. Whatever is going on in your life, Jesus is more. That's always true. No matter what, no matter who, you put on side by side with him, he excels. He goes beyond. No matter what or who you put on the other side of that word than, he is more. He is more. He's more remarkable. He's more magnificent. Believe it or not, he's more important. Fifthly, in each of these statements, Jesus refers to time. Notice that in each statement, Jesus, referring to himself and his greatness, uses the word is. Is. In this place is one greater. Is. Behold, a greater than Jonas is. Behold, a greater than Solomon is. That's present singular of be or am. It's indicative of ongoing time. He is greater than the temple. He is greater than Jonas. He is greater than Solomon. He is. He always is so. Jesus is not only greater, it's always so. Sixthly, in each of these statements, he refers to a place. In verse 6, he says, "In this place is one greater than." In verse 41, "A greater than Jonas is here." Here refers to a place. Verse 42, "A greater than Solomon is here." Referring to a place. So may I say, Jesus is greater regardless of time and regardless of place. Seventhly, in each of these statements, Jesus refers to his presence. He says in verse 6, "In this place is." That's his presence. In verse 41 and 42, "A greater than is here." Referring to his presence. So this one who is greater than, whatever you want to put there, is present. That's true of time. That's true of place. So let's put these seven details together. Jesus calls our attention, makes three very positive, very dogmatic three unrestricted statements regarding himself. In each of these statements, he is saying, I am here. I am here, wherever your here is. I am here, and I, in and of myself, am greater than, am more than all else. And this is so, no matter what, when, or where. If you put all those statements together, that's what you come up with. That's quite a statement. In each of these three statements, he says to us, I am greater than. And this is always and everywhere so. It's always so. It's everywhere so. Remember, he called their attention. This statement needs to have our attention. It needs to have our attention all the time. It's something that we ought to always ponder. It's something that we ought to always be giving serious thought to and consideration to. Jesus is more than. Wherever my time, wherever my place, whatever follows than, Jesus is more. That must always have my attention. Always. And if it does, it'll make a difference in your life. So you take any need, doesn't matter what the need is. You take any care, doesn't matter what it is. You take any burden that you have at any time, at any place, put it side by side with Jesus Christ, and He's greater. And He's more than. You take any difficulty. Doesn't matter what the difficulty is. You take any problem. Again, it doesn't matter. Any trial. Any pressure. Any turmoil. Any chaos. Any upheaval. Any uncertainty. Any challenge that you have at any time in your life, that you have in any place in your life, and you put it side by side with Christ, and He's greater. He's more. Take any disappointment. Take any frustration. Doesn't matter what it is. Take any discouragement. Take any sorrow. Take any heartache that you have at any time, that you have in any place, put it side by side with Christ, and He's more. Oh, but Brother Dan, you don't know. No, I know. You've got it rougher than anybody that's ever lived. And you are the exception to this. But you're not. Get over yourself. Get over yourself. And get your attention on the One who is more than whatever it is you're going through. You take any infirmity. You take any condition. You take any temptation. You take any confusion. You take any anxiety or fear that you have at any time or in any place, and He is more. He is more. We're not lessening your problem. We're magnifying His greatness. He is more. You take anything that is shattered. You take anything that is broken. You take anything that is torn or ruined. At any time or in any place, and Jesus is more. You take any giant that you may face. Any giant they may be taunting you. Any time or any place. And you put it side by side with Him, and He's more. He's greater than. So no matter the density of the darkness, no matter how fierce the storm, no matter how deep the valley, no matter how steep or rocky or how long the road may be that you have to travel, and no matter the time and no matter the place, He's greater. He's greater. You take any wilderness, you take any desert that you may find yourself in, and he's more. You take any river that you may be called upon to cross, and he's more. You take any obstacle that you have to get past, or any so-called impossibility in your life at any time or any place, and he's more. Doesn't matter what it is. He's more. So no matter what your now is, no matter what your place, no matter what the then is in your life, no matter what the here is in your life, you can say with absolute certainty, you can say with absolute confidence, Jesus is greater than, He is more than, whatever it is, whatever it is. He's greater than all the controlling, paralyzing, obstructive forces and entrapments that are working against you and I today. And there are many. And He is more. He is more. There is abundant testimony of this fact throughout Scripture. And what we read in 1 John 4, verse 4, Brother Kevin referred to in his devotional. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That's always so. It's always so. So if you're here today and unsaved, you need to know this. Jesus is greater than all your sin. He's greater than all your sin. You say, I feel so sinful. I'm glad you do. Because you need to feel that way before the Lord saves you. But know this, He's greater than all your sin. And in Him is the cleansing that you need. And in Him is the forgiveness and the righteousness that is greater than all your sin. You say, oh, but you don't know what I did. Doesn't matter. Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater than all your guilt. I feel so guilty. I'm glad you do. Because you need to feel that way before the Lord saves you. But know this, Jesus is greater than all your guilt. And the pardon that is in Him is greater than all your guilt. Jesus is greater than all your condemnation. And in Him is a justification greater than your condemnation. Jesus is greater than your alienation from Him. And in Him is a nearness that is greater than your alienation. Jesus is greater than your bondage. And in Him is a freedom greater than your bondage. Jesus is greater than your unacceptableness. You in and of yourself are unacceptable before God. There isn't anything you can do to make yourself acceptable to God. You are unacceptable in your present state. But He's greater. And in Him is an acceptableness greater than. He's greater than our bankruptcy. And in Him are riches that go beyond our bankruptcy. He is the only Savior. He is the only Redeemer of sinners. He is the only mediator between God and man. And He's here and He's greater than. Amen. Whatever is in your life, He's more. So you have Jesus, the holy, spotless, sinless Son of God, in a body of human flesh, and He's greater than. Greater than. Whatever you want to compare it to, it doesn't matter. He is the Almighty. He is the Eternal. He is the Immortal, the Immutable, the Infinite, the Omniscient, the All-Sufficient, Creator and Sustainer of all. And He's greater than. He's greater than. He is our Shepherd. And He's greater than. He is the living, conquering, triumphant One. And He is greater than. He is the One in whom we are more than conquerors. And He's greater than whatever it is that we have to conquer. So let's make some application to all of this. Verse 6, in this place, is one greater than the temple. You say, well, how in the world does that affect me? The plan of the temple was great. But God's plan in Jesus is greater. Far, far exceeds. The Jews, when they thought of the temple, they did so with great joy. But there's one greater than the temple here. And when we think of Jesus, we ought to do so with great joy. When the Jews thought of the temple, they did so with great thanksgiving. And they did so with great praise. But a greater than Jesus is here. A greater than the temple is here. Therefore, when we think of Jesus, there ought not to be any greater joy, any greater thanksgiving or praise. Something else the Jews did in regard with the temple is they frequented it. They went to the temple. And a greater than the temple is here. And we ought to go to them all the time. And when they entered the temple, they did so with humility, in reverence, in wonder, in awe. And when we enter into the presence of Christ, a greater than the temple is here. And we ought to do so with great humility, great wonder, great awe, great desire. Jesus is greater. Therefore, we ought to always approach Him. Doesn't matter the time. Doesn't matter the place. We ought to always approach Him. And we do so with humility. And we do so with reverence and wonder and great desire. We also hear Jesus say, "Behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Jonah was a proclaimer of the will of God. And a greater than Jonas is here. I don't need to go to anyone else other than the Lord to figure out the Lord's will. A greater than Jonas is here. Jonah preached the word to Nineveh. What did the people of Nineveh do? They listened. A greater than Jonas is here. Jesus speaks, you ought to listen. But what else did they do? They responded to the message of Jonah. They responded. They didn't just push it off. They repented. They responded. If you remember, that's what Jonah was afraid they would do. That's why he didn't want to go. He didn't like the Ninevites. And he said, "Lord, if I go and preach to them, they're going to get right, and I don't want them to." The greater than Jonas is here. When Jesus speaks, we ought to get right. You shouldn't need me or anybody else here to talk to you about getting right with the Lord. The Lord speaks, and you ought to respond. Thirdly, Jesus says, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." We read in 1 Kings 4, verse 21, that Solomon reigned over all the kingdoms, from the river unto the land of the Philistines and unto the border of Egypt. And it says, they brought presents and served Solomon. He reigned, and a greater than Solomon is here. They brought presents, and a greater than Solomon is here. They served him, and a greater than Solomon is here. Therefore, what we bring to Jesus ought to be greater than what they brought to Solomon. What we bring is ourself. They serve Solomon, and our service to Jesus ought to be greater than their service was to Solomon, because he's greater. In 1 Kings 10, we read that when the Queen of Sheba heard of Solomon, she came to him. She heard of this one and she thinks to herself, I've got to see this for myself. I'm going to go to him. The greater than Solomon is here. You need to go to him. You need to go to him. And when she went to him, we read that she told him all her heart. A greater than Solomon is here. You need to tell him all your heart. All your heart. She listened to him. She told him. She asked him questions. And here's a lost art today, listening. She listened to him. And a greater than Solomon is here. Come to him. Come to him. Tell him your heart. Listen to him. Don't just tell him, listen. That means you might have to be quiet for a little while and sit and listen to what he has to say. People say all the time, well, I told the Lord and he didn't say anything back. You didn't listen. Be quiet and listen a while. Greater than Solomon is here. Solomon answered her questions. He revealed things to her. And a greater than Solomon is here. He is the answer to your questions. And he will answer your questions. She was humbled in his presence. She confessed him. She gave unto him. And a greater than Solomon is here. So how much more you and I ought to be humbled in his presence. Also there in 1 Kings 10 verses 4 and 5, when the Queen of Sheba observed his kingdom, she said, there was no more spirit in her. I mean, she was in just such awe. She was stunned. She was amazed at what she saw. A greater than Solomon is here. Are we amazed? Are we amazed at his person? Are we stunned at the person of Jesus Christ? Solomon had an impact upon her. A greater than Solomon is here. Jesus ought to have an impact upon us. People say all the time, oh, I appreciate that message. Yeah, as soon as you get down those stairs, you forget all about it. I'm not talking about everybody. But with many, that's the case. It didn't have any impact. Solomon had an impact on the Queen of Sheba. One, it impacted her the rest of her life. A greater than Solomon is here. And he ought to impact our entire life. Every aspect of our life. Whether it be recreation, job, it doesn't matter. Every aspect of our life ought to be impacted by him. It says that she observed his servants. And what she observed was their happiness. His servants are happy. The servants of Solomon were happy. And a greater than Solomon is here. People ought to be able to observe the happiness of the servants of Christ. A greater than Solomon is here. In their everyday life, she observed them in their everyday life. And in their everyday life, they were happy. And as people observe us, they ought to, there's a happy person. There's a happy people. You say, well, I would be happy if, and then you make a list. If all these things were different, I could be happy. Have you forgotten? Jesus is greater than whatever's on your list. He's greater. Be happy in him. You may not be able to be happy in your whatever's on your list, I understand that. But get your eye off your list and look at the one who's bigger than your list. And be happy. And serve Him. Oh, the happiness and joy that ought to overflow our hearts in our everyday life. A greater than is here. Jesus is greater. We don't know what's going to happen a second from now. We don't know what awaits us when we get home. We don't know what phone call we might get today. We have no idea what we might have to face today or tomorrow. But Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater. Don't get angry with that statement. Well, He's just minimizing my problems. No. First of all, that shouldn't be your concern. But that's not what I'm doing. Jesus is greater. We're magnifying Christ. Don't get upset about that. Rejoice that there is one greater than your problems. Rejoice that there's one greater than ourselves. And this is always so. And it's everywhere so. It doesn't matter where I go. It's so. Jesus is greater. So right now, whatever your situation, in this place is one greater than. No matter what your situation or condition, in this place is one greater than the temple. In this place is one greater than Jonas. In this place is one greater than Solomon. Wherever your place is, wherever your here is, that's really not the issue. There's one greater. I'm in this horrible place, and I just can't seem to get out, and that may be so. But know this, there's one greater than your place. I'm in this horrible time in my life, and I'm intent on dragging it into the rest of my life. Quit thinking like that. You may be in a horrible time. You may be in a horrible place. But there's one greater than your time. There's one greater than your place. These are wonderful statements that Jesus made concerning Himself. And we need to put it into practice. Everybody here, nearly everybody here, if not everybody, would say, I believe that Jesus is greater than everything. Everybody would agree with that. The problem is, we don't put it into practice. And that's what we'll be speaking on this evening. Practicing. Jesus is greater than. There's the key. You have to be able to put it into practice. If it's going to help us, if it's going to benefit us. You know, we're good as humans. We're good at looking at someone else's problem and saying, Jesus is greater than your problem. But then a problem comes to our life, and our problem is bigger than any problem that Job had. And our problem is bigger than the Lord. But that's not so. That's twisted thinking. That's twisted thinking. Jesus is greater. We ought to go out those doors today rejoicing that Jesus is greater. I don't know what you're going to go home to, but Jesus is greater. He is greater. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry will lead us in singing.